Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's time for Danny versus Everybody.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I still obviously have no idea what I'm doing.
Danny brings you his three best NFL picks against the spread as he goes against a celebrity guest picker.
Danny, listen, so I'll make a pick for you. I don't normally make picks, okay, anymore because, you know, my pick's very successful and you got to pay for them, but...
Okay, thank you, Pope.
The closest thing to a tiger is a lion, even though I prefer a tiger over a lion, and the tiger really should be the king of the jungle. I'll take the lions against whoever they're playing because I like large cats who can maul people. Go Tigers.
Our old friend Eli Hershkovich.
I leave at the end of the month.
Okay, they're not always celebrities.
Gambling, your grace.
Gambling? What's the prize to winning this stupid contest?
Go down gambling. Say it.
Danny versus Everybody on the Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Started hot, then it got bad. Last week I actually did well personally. No recollection how I did in Danny versus Everyone. Three picks by me against the spread, three picks by someone else. Today it'll be Rami Makhlouf. We add up my picks, we add up everyone else's picks. Whoever wins at the end of the year gets the prize, which is, of course, nothing, because we used to just be able to punish whoever came in last, but now there's just too many of you, so probably I'll just be punished at the end of the year for losing. Shane, can you update the scoreboard, please?
Yeah, Danny, it wasn't great, to tell you the truth. You went 0-3 last week, bringing you at a total of 6-6. The celebrity picker, Anthony Herron, went 1-2. Now they are at 7-5.
Okay, so everybody is beating me. In picks against the spread.
You were right first. It is. Everybody is beating me.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, well, but if I say it both ways, then I could be like, oh, I meant the correct one.
No.
No? Yeah, okay. You're right. Rami.
Yes, sir.
You get three picks against the spread in the NFL. Go right ahead.
Not the Bears game, right? We're going to save that for later? Or can
the
Bears game
be included? You can pick the Bears game.
You know what? I'm going to leave the Bears out. I got three games I like more than that. Chiefs. -3.5 against Buffalo. I like the Le'Veon Bell edition, and I just think Buffalo is largely a fraud, one of the more fraudulent teams in the NFL. Pretty sure Josh Allen is Mitch Trubisky 2.0 with some minor upgrades, but nothing special.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to say the Chiefs cover that 3.5. Jaguars +3 against Detroit, and my only explanation for that is a Matt Patricia-led football team. And then I got the Browns +3 against Pittsburgh. Browns win this Sunday in Pittsburgh because I'm a big believer in Kevin Stefanski and what he's doing there in Cleveland. I picked them to win that division and Baker Mayfield to be comeback player of the year. Now, the second part of that may not come true because better comeback player of the year candidates throughout 5 weeks of the NFL season. But I'm still picking the Browns to win that division. I think there's a lot of talent there, and I think Kevin Stefanski is a hell of a coach. So, Browns win that game, not just cover the three-point spread.
Okay, but for the purposes of this, just for the record, we'll give you the +3.5 that I see it on the Browns, but that is a bold pick. You know, that division, very quietly, right, it's a 4-0 Steelers team and then the 4-1 Ravens and the 4-1 Browns, as I do that from memory.
I believe you are correct, sir.
Yeah, that is the AFC North, best division in football by far so far this year. Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky. He's been one of the best fantasy football players in the league this year. He's gotten much better. I think you are way
Mitch Trubisky was a good fantasy football QB in 2018.
Yeah, kind of. He had 24 touchdowns and 12 picks. Josh Allen this year has... I mean, Josh Allen is crushing it. I think
I said some minor improvements. There's always minor improvements when they give you the 2.0, but you look at it and you go, this is pretty much the same thing with just some minor improvements. That's what I see in Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky.
Okay, I mean, Josh Allen has 14 passing touchdowns against 3 interceptions and is averaging 338 passing yards per game.
He's got a better
coach. Just say it. Just say it. With 3 rushing touchdowns. Just throwing it out there. I think Josh Allen has taken a legitimate leap.
I think Josh Allen is not a starting quarterback of a football team by 2021.
You are out of
okay.
your mind.
All right. Okay, I think he'll get exposed. I think as this season goes
along,
he will get exposed. Yeah. Do you remember that playoff game last year?
That's the single worst sports thought I've heard in 2020.
That can't be possible. I just said put a roof on Wrigley Field. That can't be possible.
This is worse.
Okay.
Dude, you say so. That is the single worst sports thought. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you're all right.
Hopefully I'm in this chair.
Did you watch Tuesday Night Football? He wasn't great, but
no.
he was a starting caliber player against the Titans. Okay, that's a thought. That is a take, and you had it. Josh Allen, not a quarterback, a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't think so.
By the end of next year.
At least not somebody who's going to carry a team anywhere. If they want to stick with him, be my guest. He's not winning a lot of football games or taking his team to a Super Bowl.
So I have never done the picks this way. Josh Allen, not a starting quarterback by the end of next year. Unbelievable. All of my picks are NFC North squads, and I'm not very high on this division this year, but I think you'll see where I'm going. The Falcons are fraudulent. So they're going to get Julio Jones back, and that will help. But Matt Ryan looked cooked. Their defense, even when they got their safeties back last week with Keanu Neal leading the way, still got barbecued. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They're not particularly good at running the football. And Matt Ryan ain't great at throwing the ball. I think they go to Minnesota and get blown out, even without Dalvin Cook. I think Alex Mattison runs all over the Falcons. I love the Vikings laying only 4 points. I think Vikings win that game by double digits. Keep in mind, I also made a pledge last week to never bet on the Falcons again. Now, Green Bay coming off a bye, -1 in Tampa. Aaron Rodgers is... just locked in.
Incredible.
Hold on, Danny. Danny, what does laying mean? When you're laying points, is that plus or minus? Because I keep your records here every time. And every time you say laying or whatever, I turn to Tanny. I ask him what it means, and neither of us know.
Shane, are you somebody else who also doesn't get betting terminology?
Because
I don't get betting terminology. Like, I know spreads. I understand a spread, minus plus. Okay. Jeez,
I love this so much because this is me in 2018 when we first started doing Who Do You Love?
Like when,
and I'd have to track these guys down. Did you win or lose? What was your damn record? I don't know what that is.
Like when people say, like, plus 150, what the hell are you talking about when you say I have no idea.
Normally
no
on
clue.
Fridays, I start drinking wine in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm going to start drinking bourbon in the 4 o'clock hour this week.
Just iced tea.
You know what I mean?
Laying is a favorite. Vikings -4.
You've been
Vikings.
Calling this a blind date, Danny, and that's how most of my blind dates end. They're just pouring bourbon down their throat at the end just so they don't have to pay attention or listen to me at all.
The Josh Allen take is going to drive me to... I've never gotten inebriated during or before
by the end of 2021, okay? It's sometime in 2021. Josh Allen is going to be benched. I'm telling you. Watch.
Okay.
Watch.
By the end of 2021, he's going to be in position for like a $150 million contract.
That
would be such a
bad investment. That would be that in all the bad investments that the Bills have made, that might be the worst one.
Speaking of iPads, would it have just been hard for you to say -4? Do you have to say -4 like you're a big gambling guy over here?
Would you like I'm a big gambling guy? Sorry for saying laying four. Yeah, Vikings -4, Green Bay -1, Bears
the laying one.
Yeah, Green Bay laying 1, Bears +1.5.
I'm done giving you explanations. None of you deserve them. That is how I feel. Bears plus 1.5. Packers minus 1. Vikings minus 4. Jesus. All right. Now, plus 150
yes.
is called a money line.
All right.
That means if you remove the spread from the equation and you just want to bet on wins and losses, minus connotes a favorite, just like it would with a point spread, minus 4, favored by 4, plus 4, underdog by 4. So plus 150 would be a team that is an underdog. It's in derivatives of $100. So if you bet $100, you win $150 if you bet on the plus 150 dog to lose. If they were minus 150, you'd have to bet $150.
To win 100?
To win 100.
You should teach
that. 112, 129, 101, 126, 148, 116, 152, 117, 103.
And it goes down, so you don't have to bet $100. If it's plus 150 and you want to bet $10, you would win $15. If it was minus 150 and you wanted to win $10, you would bet $15. It's very simple.
I think I have it now, but by Monday I'll have forgotten.
You definitely don't.
Probably
have
not.
It.
Probably
you don't.
Have,
so let's test.
Okay.
Let's say, all right, the Broncos are a 9-point underdog in New England. So they are plus 340 on the money line.
Okay.
So if you wanted to bet $10 on the Broncos.
Oh, now you're changing the math, man. You said this was in derivatives of 100. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you could start with derivative of 100. And then you could do the math down to 10. But if we make it easier for you, we could start with 100 ourselves,
okay.
Rami.
Is it
so you wanted to bet $100 on the Broncos to beat the Patriots outright?
$34? Would I bet $34?
No.
You back
win
up,
$34 if you bet $10.
What does derivative mean?
We're going to break Danny. We're going to break Danny before this hour is up.
Yeah,
we could be
envelope.
A shell of a man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm enveloped in stupidity. This is just unbelievable what's going on around here.
It had to come to this eventually.
We should mix it up next week and get someone who knows about gambling.
No. Next week it's Mark Carmen. It's not going to go any better. It's not going to go any better. Love the car. That's going to be a lot of fun, but my God. Okay.
Sorry, I don't know gambling, man.
No, it's okay. It's okay that you don't know gambling.
I've never had money to gamble, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry I don't know gambling. My bad. But
No, it's fine that you don't know gambling. But Shane not knowing laying is a little tricky.
Yeah, I don't think it's just me. I think it's if we want to get real on the demographic of your radio station, I think I would say the majority of your listeners would prefer you to say minus.
I don't even want to pollute Twitter with our stupidity. That's how dumb this conversation is. It's too stupid for Twitter. But I guarantee you, if you put out a poll question, when you say a team is laying 4,
please do this.
Are they a 4-point favorite or 4-point underdog? I guarantee you 80%+ of the audience, if not 90%+ of the audience, knows that laying correlates with favorite.
Hey, man. Okay. I'm just trying to make things easier for myself back here.
Yeah.
We are watching a man lose his mind. If you're watching on the Twitch feed, we are watching Danny Parkins lose his damn mind in real time.
Now we have a texter who doesn't get the envelope joke, Tanny, and they're saying that I pronounced it wrong. Now I'm just going to lose my mind. Actually, you know what can save this?
What
can save it.
Okay.
Let's play that whole exchange when Mark Grody was on the air and Alex Cora got fired, okay? The only thing that can make me not drink myself into a coma before the end of this radio show is if we can play the only thing in the last 12 months that was more of a train wreck than the previous segment we had. This is Mark Grody hosting solo, not normally a solo host, getting the news at night that Alex Cora had been fired.
So, all right, back to the baseball thing. As Alex Cora has, do you say he was fired or he was, because I haven't seen it cross here. Has he been fired or was he suspended? All right, we'll try to figure that out here. Momentarily here. But it probably has been suspended. It was the same thing that Rob Manfred
Yeah, Mark. Jeff Passan, just 47 seconds ago, Alex Cora out as Boston Red Sox manager following the fallout of the sign-stealing scandals that have enveloped baseball.
Out. So he uses the terminology.
Enveloped.
That's what I said.
Okay. So wait. So he's out as manager?
Yeah.
So, Robbie, it's your first time hearing it. At first blush, what's your favorite part of that 47
seconds? My favorite part is it's near the beginning, because I've been there when you're searching for something. It's usually on your Twitter timeline, but you don't want dead air, and you just make a noise, and he goes, choo-choo-choo.
So, all right, back to the baseball thing. As Alex Cora, do you say he was fired or he was, because I haven't seen it cross here. Has he been?
That's an underrated part. I will grant you that.
Have you ever been there? Have you ever done that? Mine is usually
Dombrowski, blah blah blah. Yeah, of course, of course.
I'll usually do a little ditty. I'll go like do 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 do. Like while I'm
there. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit more trained as a solo host than you, so I can fill a bus.
I knew exactly what he was. I think as a radio guy, I appreciate that more than the average listener, maybe, because I knew exactly what he was doing in that moment. It was just, I don't want dead air. I'm going to make any noise I can while I focus on my timeline.
Yeah, so that's. That you're right. That's a great part. I personally like the indignation when he pronounced enveloped, when he says enveloped, and he's like enveloped, and he's like, that's what I said.
And what
I like that's what I said.
What was that crashing noise? Was it Tandy who jumped in?
That's another great part.
No, that's Julio grabbing the mic before he turns it on, going like this with the mic arm.
Yeah. Tanny's too professional for that. This is nighttime. It's incredible.
Oh man!
So, fired or was he suspended? All right, we'll try to figure that out here, momentarily here. But it probably has been suspended. It was the same thing that Rob Manfred.
Yeah, Mark. Jeff Passan.
It was like Kramer just busted into the room to say something.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know those like abstract art. Every time you look at it, you see something new.
Yeah,
Tanny, I think we've played that legitimately 50 times.
Not enough,
and it's never enough because I don't think we've ever talked about momentarily.
No, Mac early on in it like talked about momentarily.
Oh my god.
Okay, yeah,
that is a great piece of audio right there.
It's amazing. Wow. Yeah.
There are little nuances to it you pick up every time.
Yeah,
I've only heard it three times. I've picked up different things every time.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
You've only heard it all the way through once. So let's let's do this. We're gonna compose ourselves, and when we come back, we're gonna hear Ozzie Guillen explain his side of the story as to why he's not the White Sox manager. It's his first time speaking. We got the audios. We're gonna do that coming up. But I want to end the segment one time all the way through. The only thing that could save this train wreck of a segment. Mark Grody with Julio finding out that Alex Cora had momentarily been fired.
So, all right, back to the baseball thing. As Alex Cora, do you say he was fired or he was, because I haven't seen it cross here. Has he been fired or was he suspended? All right, we'll try to figure that out here. Momentarily here. But it probably has been suspended. It was the same thing that Rob Manfred.
Yeah, Mark. Jeff Passan, just 47 seconds ago, Alex Cora out as Boston Red Sox manager following the fallout of the sign-stealing scandals that have enveloped baseball.
Out. So he uses the terminology.
Enveloped.
That's what I said.
Okay. So wait. So he's out?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
As manager.
Yeah. Or not. Big Voice Guy is prepared for the event that will never happen because the White Sox are going to try to get newer and modern and fresh. So they're going to talk to Tony La Russa. Now, I don't know what the hell they're doing, but I know that it's not going to be Ozzie Guillen. They took a very unconventional, but I would say respectable approach when they fired Rick Renteria and Don Cooper and Rick Hahn spoke to the media. He said, hey, Jerry called Ozzie. It's not going to be Ozzie. So they gave him a warning ahead of time because they knew the speculation was going to be there and they respected Ozzie enough to tell him up front. I thought that that was unconventional, Rami, but I did think, you know what? That's a respectable way to go about it since he's been campaigning for the job and you knew you weren't going
to
give it to
do
him.
Do you think that was out of respect to Ozzie, or because you've talked about how aware the White Sox are of Twitter and social media and the perception of them out there, do you think that they called Ozzie more just to put out that fire before it ever even started among Sox fans on Twitter and the speculation and the clamoring for Ozzie to be the manager of the White Sox again?
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was both.
Okay.
I think it was like, we respect Ozzie, and Ozzie is still around the team.
Right.
I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf has a financial stake in NBC Sports Chicago. He's the analyst on the postgame show. They want Ozzie to have a good relationship with the organization. So we're going to be respectable to Ozzie, but also we don't want our fan base to go nuts and go running with the idea of it being Ozzie and then ultimately disappoint them because they got their hopes up. So like they nipped it in the bud both ways, I feel
right.
Like,
I think,
to Ozzie and the fans.
I think they ultimately just didn't want the rumor fire to get started. So they had to call Ozzie before they told Sox fans, yeah, that's not happening. So don't even start with the
right.
Ozzie stuff. Because if you just come out and say that without talking to Ozzie first, that seems kind of disrespectful. I think the call was more operational. It was just something that they felt they had to do before they sprayed water on the fire that would have been the Ozzie Guillen rumor mill.
Yeah, I think that's right. And to the texter who says, I really hate when y'all play fake news. I had just turned the car on and you gave me a heart attack. That's that's the bit.
The point, yeah.
Yeah, that's we're sorry that we didn't have a live feed into your car because that would have been funny. But if you were already driving and we would have given you the heart attack and there's like accidents all around Chicago, then we'd have
that.
A liability on our hands. That'd be terrible. But just turning on the car, that's probably pretty safe. That's funny.
That's the target demographic. The guy just turning on the car.
That's right. That's
fake
the guy.
News. Exactly.
Yep. That's the guy we're going.
Who we're going after.
Film your reaction next time, sir, and then send it in so we can exploit it for likes and retweets on social media. So Ozzie Guillen was on his show Being Guillen, surrounded by family. And this is Ozzie Guillen's first public comments, both about not getting the job and the call with Jerry Reinsdorf. So here's Ozzie Guillen.
Well, I get up in the morning every day, do my coffee. I got to do my wife's coffee. Do my coffee watching Telemundo to see how the COVID is. Then I watch taking number two.
Which is okay.
Well, you have to do the coffee,
relax.
To kick in, and I look, Jerry's called me. And like, well, that's weird because I have a new number. Called me and he told me about the situation with the White Sox with Rick. And my first thing come out of my mouth, like, you know, is the man sick?
Is he okay?
Yeah, I think it's okay. No, we decided to move to people. I think I was concentrating more on like a shock. When he talked to me about it, you know, we got to do this in a few minutes or a few hours. They got to come up in the media. And after I said, okay, just get ready and talk to the media. No, not really, because I'll be talking to a lot of people. No, I think I'm going to get the job, even when the Renteria is still with the job. And I said, no, I don't think my mind is another place, because it's like you think something, like hope for something never happened.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, oh, you crushed. Then I said, well, then I he was nice. He told me everything about it, but you're not going to be the guy.
Right. You're not going to be interviewed.
In this particular moment, right now.
Right.
Right now, you're not, you know, I don't think you're the fit. That's exactly what I say. Right now, I don't think you're going to be the fit.
I know you've never said this on camera. I never have. If they said the job's yours, did you want it?
Hell yeah.
Oh, you know why?
That's a hell yeah.
No, hell yeah. It's in the big league, yes. In Chicago, yes, for free. I don't.
You said pay me after the season.
I said, listen,
you could curse.
No, but the thing is, another city.
You think about it a couple times.
I will think about it because my family, my grandkids, that's number one right now. But with Chicago, I said, you know what? Just give me meal money. By the way, a car to drive to the ballpark because but I let them know. It's not about money. It's about pride. And it's about being there.
So I feel for Ozzy. That's a human who genuinely loves an organization and the job and the city, and it's disappointing when you want a job and you don't get it. I gotta say, if Jerry called Ozzy and said, you're not the guy for the team right now, like leaving the door open for the possibility of it in the future, I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Like, why would 5 years from now Ozzie Guillen be the right guy for the White Sox? Like, they're done having Ozzie Guillen manage the White Sox. And I can't see a scenario where they'd hire him. So given how genuine and open and honest and raw he's been about wanting the job, the organization, everything about it, just tell him the truth. Ozzy, you've already done it. You won a World Series. Your place in White Sox history is cemented. You don't pay for a meal anywhere in this town. You got a ring. You're an icon for the franchise. Be our post-game analyst, be our ambassador, be our friend, be our voice, be our sense of humor, be our personality. But you're never going to be our manager again. You should put those dreams to bed. Like, that's the explanation you really owe Ozzie Guillen.
I don't know that you closed that window. Why do you have to close that window? Who's to say 5 years from now? And I know you're an ageist. You've said that yourself throughout the week when it comes to Tony La Russa. But who's to
I'm
say?
I'm learning that about myself. Yeah.
We don't know who's going to be on the roster of this team in 5 years. We don't know what the makeup of the team is going to be. And we don't know what they're going to need in a manager at that time. Why close the door or close the window on Ozzy being the manager? Even if it's just a crack open, because 5 years from now you think he's the guy and you don't want to look like an idiot and get, you know, have your take up on freezing cold takes that you said Ozzie Guillen would never be the manager of the Chicago White Sox. It doesn't hurt to leave that window open, does it?
I mean, if there's a real possibility, otherwise it's like it's willfully leading someone on. You know, that's the only thing. Like, because he's so raw with it, he's so truthful and honest and emotional. Like saying, hey, I will do it for free. It's about pride. It's about my grandkids seeing that I manage, and you know what I mean. Like,
right?
He's being honest with you. And so I feel like you owe him 100% honesty back. And you're right. It's possible, I suppose, hypothetically. But when did he manage last for the Marlins, Tanny? How long? It was 2012?
2011, I think.
2011. So, I mean, he's been out of the game going on 10 years. Like, by the time that A.J. Hinch, Tony La Russa, sure, Alex Cora, Sandy Alomar, you know, by the time the White Sox hire the next manager – it will be more than a decade well over a decade, likely.
Sorry, it's 2012. Since Ozzie Guillen's, you're right. 2012.
2012. Since he's been on the bench. So it just, it's hard for me. So part of it's age, but part of it's also distance. It's why I would, like I told you the other day, I think, I don't remember who, if it was you or someone else, like, I would never hire Bill Cowher. You've just been out of the game too.
Yeah,
you've just been out of the game too long. Like, it's at some point, it just, like, TV is not reps for doing it. And so I just, it's very hard for me to imagine that in like 2027 they could hire Ozzie. Though a texter makes an incredible point and joke, and I should have thought of it myself. It's actually the opposite. He's not old enough yet. They're going to hire Tony La Russa,
exactly.
And then they're going to wait for Ozzie to be in his 70s.
John Paul Morosi said the other day, this could be a 1 or 2 year deal with Ozzie, with Tony La Russa. Maybe you go from La Russa to Ozzie.
All right, my bad. That is a hypothetical.
Get
that
younger.
I had not
you
considered.
Get younger at manager and bring in Ozzie Guillen after the Tony La Russa era is over.
Their championship window for the Sox is so large, and it will span so many years. Go to Ozzie after that. Bring back Gene Lamont. Bring back Robin in 10 years.
Bevington. Are we going to get Terry Bevington
bring them all
a shot?
Back. Absolutely. Bring them all back. Jim Leland, who was a third base coach for La Russa, give him a shot.
That's right.
Right all the wrongs. Always.
And managers don't matter. So just they're going to win the next six World Series anyway.
That's what I
love
about
new
all
managers.
I think that's what Jerry Reinsdorf is thinking. Managers don't matter. This team is winning a World Series regardless. Let me get my friends a few more rings. First Tony, then Ozzie. Maybe we get Terry Bevington. And all of Jerry's friends get rings. You get a ring, and you get a ring, and you get a ring.
Tanny, you like this idea?
I mean, yeah. How could you not? Okay. That's what my favorite part about all this is, just people getting so angry when everyone is in agreement that managers don't matter. And it's like, what? La Russa? That's disgraceful.
Okay, but you know what, though? The why I think it's ridiculous is the culture clash part of it. Like, Tim Anderson's going to play it for Tony La Russa. Like,
that's what gets me more than anything. Yep.
The fit of it just feels ridiculous compared to the identity that has been established on this team already. That's the part that I think's just like super hard to reconcile with.
And I'm 100% in line with you on that. It's not even the baseball of it. It's just that guy and his personality just doesn't jive with me and what this young White Sox team is at this point. I think he takes some life out of them. And I think in that case, when you talk about, this goes back to what you were saying about Matt Nagy earlier, Danny, is that there is more to being a head coach in the NFL than just calling the offense or putting together the playbook. You're talking about managing people and managing personalities. And I think that's maybe where a baseball manager matters the most. And if you bring in this crotchety old killjoy and Tony La Russa to this young, fun baseball team, I think it could have a negative impact. And that's when managers do matter, when it comes to managing people and personalities and whether or not you're doing that well or doing that poorly.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that is the, among the issues that I'd have with it, that would be near the top. The idea of just, are you going to get into a point in time where you're just not letting these guys be themselves? And that, I think, is a huge part of their swagger, their confidence, why they play so freely. And Ricky Renteria, for his faults as a bullpen manager and a tactician, he was great at that. He was a big player empowerment guy, big culture guy, big developing young players and all that. So, yeah, I don't think that they matter much in terms of wins and losses over 162, but I do think that they can pollute an atmosphere or attitude around a team. And so I wouldn't take the risk.
And that has a tangible impact, not just in sports. Like, how many studies has Forbes and publications of the like done talking about productivity in the workplace and how it relates to the happiness of the employees? Like, baseball athletes are better when they're happy where they work. All of us are better when we're happy where we work and more productive, when we like our bosses and our environment and everything and the culture and everything else that goes into a workplace. And I think Tony La Russa kind of poisons the waters for the Chicago White Sox.
And by the way, that is so true. Have you ever worked for a boss you hated?
Yes.
Me too. It was terrible.
Awful.
Yeah,
you dread going into work. Like, I would have sweats about just going, and this in this industry, like, I love this job, but it's not even work. I would have sweats about going into work.
I had a boss who would call, like, when he would call you into his office to talk to you.
Yeah.
He would make eye contact with you, like, through the glass or in the hallway or whatever. And he would just do, like, the one finger, like, come here
thing. Oh, God.
Like, you can't even say my name.
Yeah, that's...
You're, like, beckoning me like I'm a dog or something.
Like, are you the king? Like, what is this? Was somebody feeding him grapes and fanning him while this was happening?
So ridiculous. I'm like, this is the most dehumanized. I'm already making 30 grand a year. like
30?
Come
Damn.
On, man.
Look at you, big timer.
Yeah, like you're my first boss in radio, like, for real. Like, I just got health insurance. I think I'm killing it. You didn't like how I said something, and you want to admonish me, and you have to do the... Just the finger, one finger.
While we're exchanging horror stories of bosses who we didn't like and who didn't like, I had a boss early in my radio career who, part-timers, you would find out you were no longer employed by the station when the schedule came out and your name just wasn't on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That really tells you where you are in the pecking order. I respect you as a human little.
And I was a part-timer at the time. So, and the schedule would come out every week. He wouldn't even put out a schedule for the month so I could have like 30 days of, whew, still got this job. Every week I'd wait for the schedule to come out and just pray that my name was still on it. And that meant I was still employed.
You're like Rudy checking the dress list. Like going top to bottom, like Maklov. Yeah, $9 an hour. Yeah, man, radio. People are like, what would you give me advice on getting into this industry for my high school student? Get an econ degree. That would basically be my advice.
People would tell me have a fallback plan, so I was like, I'll do comedy. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to choose an easy career, like stand-up comedy.
Exactly. Something more solid and certain than radio. I'm going to go into stand-up comedy because everybody makes it in that industry.
Yeah, well, you had great mentors.
For
I
sure.
Can tell.
Yep.
That is amazing. He's Rami Maklouf. I'm Danny Parkins. It's a Bears Friday on the Score.
Station.
Danny Parkins show. Rami Maklouf in. Kershaw got lit up again last night, Rami, by the Braves. So his career postseason ERA is nearly 2 runs higher than his career regular season ERA. 2.43 in the regular season, 4.31 in the postseason.
It's incredible.
It really is. And I know people can parse things and say, you know, well, this bit of circumstance happened here and this bit of circumstance happened here. Because I had been someone who had dismissed it. It's like it was a fluke thing here. He's amazing. Give me Clayton Kershaw. But now, obviously, he's not peak of his powers, best pitcher in the game, Clayton Kershaw. Still very good, but he's not the best guy in the game. I think at this point, the sample size is getting to be big enough where we're like, yeah, Clayton Kershaw has a playoff pitching problem. It's weird. There aren't many examples of things like that in sports where first ballot Hall of Famer all-time greats are actually worse in their postseason over any representative sample. Most of them are either the same or better if you get a real sampling of postseason success. And Clayton Kershaw is an outlier right now.
I felt bad for Clayton Kershaw and still do to a degree, but the reason I feel bad for him is kind of changing. It's shifting a little bit because a good part of the sample size you just talked about, Danny, were against teams that knew what pitch was coming and were signaling to their teammates what pitch was coming. Last year, I forget which game it was in the World Series, they said the Astros didn't swing at, or 2 years ago, excuse me, didn't swing at one curveball against Clayton Kershaw. That's how locked in they were because of the trash can banging that was going on at the time. And I don't remember if it was The Athletic or ESPN did a long sit down with Clayton Kershaw, and he really opened up and like poured his heart out about his playoff struggles and how they came about. And I was like, man, this guy has gotten a raw deal. He's obviously a much better pitcher than this. And maybe it is just the age showing. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just a coincidence of timing that they knew what pitches were coming. And now he's just old and past his prime and doesn't have the skills that he used to have. But, I mean, now you can't argue that teams know and are signaling what pitch is coming. And the Braves are still lighting him up yesterday
But really, a lot of this falls on Dave Roberts, in my opinion, because you got to – your job as a manager is to see what's coming and to recognize when Clayton Kershaw is running into these problems, especially in the postseason with the track record that he has. And you got a damn good bullpen, man. Have a quicker hook with Clayton Kershaw in the postseason than maybe your instincts are telling you to. Dave Roberts has had a few mistakes in this series so far, Danny, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, the last few years there have been – I mean, mm-hmm. Dave Roberts has caught a ton of scrutiny. And I know it's easy to blame the manager when your team falls short and, you know, Peter Gammons linked him to the White Sox if the Dodgers moved on from him. If you're going to get a manager who hasn't won a World Series, I would take Bob Melvin over Dave Roberts.
Same.
I think that they're likelier – I still think that they're most likely to go towards A.J. Hinch. But, you know, the Dodgers not winning a World Series is not solely because of their manager. I still think the biggest part of it is simply explained by baseball. Just now it's baseball. Like in terms of why they are the best collection of talent. They've been the best regular season team. They've spent the most money. Like I don't think that if I was doing like a pie chart of where I'm divvying up blame and for the biggest reason why they haven't won, Dave Roberts is on it.
Sure.
Clayton Kershaw not being Kershaw in the postseason is on it. But I still think the biggest portion of that is the randomness of baseball. And they have such a better financial situation than every other team in the sport because of their TV deal. I still think the Dodgers are going to be competitive more years than not, going to be in the playoffs more years than not, and will win their share of World Series going forward.
I know this is hypocritical because I'm a Cubs fan, and they don't have a small budget by any means. But I do take a little bit of joy. I do relish a little bit in the Dodgers coming up short continually, despite having the biggest budget and the financial situation that you just talked about there in LA. I'm not going to say they don't deserve it, but like you were talking about Bob Melvin versus Dave Roberts, you look at how they've put together that A's team and how strapped and handcuffed they've been in terms of the resources. I think that's a much easier team to root for than the Los Angeles Dodgers. And a small part of me takes satisfaction in watching them fall short year after year after year, even though I'm also a fan of a big budget team. Like I said, it's hypocritical, but that's just...
What are the new Yankees in terms of like
exactly.
The Yankees and how they had so much more money than everyone else, you know, 90s, 2000s. Now the Dodgers have so much more money than everyone else. So in terms of the biggest outlier on that side, it's the Dodgers. But yeah, the Kershaw numbers at this point are borderline impossible to refute. There is something there that makes him, over a representative sample, a worse postseason pitcher. I want to figure out what we know definitively about the Bears, and I want to go around the room and try to come up with guys who are like Mike Davis. Basically, just guys in Chicago, and then you see them flourish somewhere else, and you're like, how the hell did that? I didn't see that coming. So not Fernando Tatis or Gleyber Torres or something like that, but like people who were just guys and then had degrees of success that you were surprised by elsewhere, because that's what's coming against the Bears this Sunday with Mike Davis for the Panthers. Rami Makhlouf in on the Danny Parker Show on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.